Get out your bulletins. We're going to be continuing our series that we started last week called Arrows, and we are talking about how arrows are these children in our life, and Scripture says in Psalm 127 that arrows are the children are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. And this is the series' big idea that we've been talking about. Write this in your notes, that raising children with eternity in mind brings clarity to how we live toward the target. Brings clarity as to how we live toward the target. Now, last week, if you missed it, you can go back and you can catch it online at westsideleavenworth.com. But let me just kind of catch you up if you weren't here, or if you maybe have forgotten because you've slept since then, and I get that. So here's what we talked about last week. Last week, we talked about how the family is the most important institution, how I believe the family is the most important institution that God created. It was the very first institution that God created. And it was in the family that I believe God wanted him to be revealed. We got our first picture of God by our family, whether good or bad. See, it's a picture about God. How we see God really is taken out of how we see our family. It's in our family that our values are instilled. It's in our family that those good habits that your parents were good at, you pick up on. And it's also in your family that those bad habits that you wish you didn't have, that you found out later, oh yeah, that's my mom. Or that's my dad. And it was your spouse that kind of pointed that out because you didn't see it. But this the family is great, and this was what God wanted for us. And the children are so important in our family. Now, this is what we talked about. This was the challenge last week. We challenged you, regardless of where you are in your life, whether you are here and you're in a season of life where you can say, you know what, my kids are grown up and gone. I did some great things, or I wish I could go back and do some different things. It's never too late. And it's not too late to continue. And it's never a time to stop investing in building strong families, your own or even others. And if you're here today and you're single, I want you to lean into this, because there's going to be some wisdom in today's teaching that you need to put in your bank, and that you're going to recall maybe one day when God leads you to get married. Or maybe you're here today and you're a single parent and there's some wisdom that you're going to have today. Maybe you're here today and you're married and you're trying for kids. And maybe it hasn't happened yet. I don't want you to feel that, because this can be a sensitive topic for you. But I don't want you to dismiss some of the wisdom in this. I want you to lean in. And so regardless of where you are, maybe you're here today and you go, Casey, I've just screwed a lot of things up and I can't fix it. You know, it's never too late, and really it's never too early to invest and build strong families. It's never too late and it's never too early to raise our children with eternity in mind. And the children in our life with eternity in mind. You might be like like a coach. Like yesterday, when I'm looking at these kids, I'm looking at them like little arrows. As I'm holding my daughter's hand as I'm coaching her soccer team, and we're out in the field, and it's the one where there's no goals, but every parent's counting the goals that their child makes, you know? You know who you are. And then you have these moments that you see in all the chaos, but you got to remind yourself, you know what? These are my opportunity to raise these kids, that I get a chance to influence these kids. So regardless of if you don't have kids, or you do have kids, or you got kids in your neighbor that are your neighbor's kids, or you got nephews and nieces or grandchildren, I want you to lean into this. And we raise children with the eternity in mind. Why? Because as Jesus followers, we have a biblical, a scripture-centered, a Jesus-centered worldview. And we realize that life isn't just about what we have today. Life is not about the things that we collect and the activities we do. Life is more than that. See, life, there's an eternity value in the life we live. And we parent at the edge. We raise children. We see children. We see people at the edge of eternity. And last week we looked at Psalm 127. We used this whole chapter. It's going to be kind of like our framework and like our springboard for this teaching. I'm not going to read it all today, but today I want to look at what we're going to talk about. And we're going to take it out of verse 2. And it's never too late to join Jesus in his work of building our family and the children in our life. And this is how we're going to join him today. Look at verse 2 says. It says, "In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat." And here is the mantra of every newborn parent of a newborn, for he grants sleep to those he loves. He grants sleep to those he loves. Last week we talked about the A, as we're taking this arrows, this idea that children are like arrows in the hands of a warrior, and we have the opportunity to shoot them. And we talked last week about aim, how we got to aim for the bullseye, not just to hit the target. We talked about how we are painting the target toward the bullseye. We talked about how, hey, one of the things is that we are raising children knowing that they are different and that they are unique. We talked about how it's that they are all created in God's image, and we talked about how they're blessings, not burdens, and that led us to the bullseye. That when we set our aim, then we're not aiming that they get a great reputation. We're not seeking first that they are great baseball players or great basketball players or great football players. We're putting our aim that they know Jesus. We're putting our bullseye on that they trust in him and that they follow him. And today we're going to be talking about the R. And the R, write this in, is rhythm. It's rhythm. I love rhythm. I'm a drummer. In my head, there is always a cadence. In my head, there is always a beat. If you see me driving along and you see me patting the steering wheel, I'm just going to tell on myself. There's no music playing because I rarely listen to the radio. It's really the rhythm that's going on inside of me, and it's expressed out. You see, I love rhythm. And we're going to look at this as rhythm. In that passage of Psalm 127, it says, in vain you rise up early. See, most of the early birds were here at the last service. And in vain you stay up late. If you love the late night, raise your hand. Yeah. Us early people don't like you. And you don't like the early people. I can't wait to see what it's like in the next service. But he says in vain. You know what he says in vain? What, in a way, I think he's saying you live out of rhythm. You live out of rhythm. You try to pursue getting up too early, and you try to pursue staying up too late. You don't follow the cadence that's set for you, because God grants rest. He grants peace. And you'll see through Scripture how rest and peace are interchangeably used. It's the same word in the original languages, like this Hebrew word, and we'll see it later in the Greek word that's interpreted as peace. It's interchangeably used as rest and peace throughout Scripture, that our English language uses that. And we sometimes get out of rhythm. And today I want to talk about getting you in rhythm. See, I believe life has rhythm. I believe God has established a rhythm to creation. You can't look at a day and night with the sun setting and the sun rising as a rhythm. That we can now, we have farmers' almanacs that looks at the rhythm and predicts the future of what can happen, because there is rhythm in life. There is a circadian rhythm. And if you don't know what that is, ask your kid who's got a good biology teacher, because they'll talk to you about the circadian rhythm. And then there's not only that, but our bodies have rhythm. That you have a rest rhythm. That every night you have to go to sleep. We don't like to go to sleep, but we have to go to sleep. There's a rhythm that it's set in our breathing. As we breathe in and breathe out, there's a rhythm. There's a rhythm to our heartbeat. There's a rhythm to all the systems that God's created, because God has created us, and there's a cadence that he's wanting us to live to, and we got to lock into that cadence. Last week, we talked about how raising children is a war. And there, if you talk to any military people, you'll hear them talk about a battle rhythm. I've never been in the military, but I've kind of collected what that means. See, there is a routine that you need to establish yourself into that prepares you for the crisis. There's a routine. And if we are wise and we have through this through a Jesus-centered perspective, then we know that there is a war for not just us and our souls, but there's a war for the souls of the kids that we influence. And we need to be in the battle rhythm. We need to be in the discipline of the pace and be ready for that moment. And we need to acknowledge that life has a rhythm. And we need to acknowledge the moments that we get out of rhythm. We need to acknowledge those and have the discipline then to get back into it. And I want to look at another scripture that the King Solomon wrote. King Solomon was King David's son. King David said, hey, Solomon, I can't build a temple. God has given me permission to equip you to build the temple. And at the dedication of this temple, which King Solomon is also the gentleman that wrote Psalm 127. He's the one who gets credit for that whole chapter there in that Psalm of Ascent. And in this passage that we're going to look at right here, King Solomon is dedicating the temple. And he's at the end of his prayer of dedication, and he's blessing the people. He's like this benediction. And he glorifies God as a blessing to all of the people. And I want us to listen to his words as to what he says right here. And we see the rhythm in it. And we're going to look at the Message translation of this today. He says, blessed be God who has given peace to his people, who has given rest to his people, who has given peace. May he keep us centered and devoted to him. What's he saying? May he keep us locked in on the bullseye, aiming on the target. And we talked about how we see that target and that bullseye, the bullseye and the target, to know Jesus, trust in him, and follow him. He said, lock in on that. And following the life path he has cleared, watching the signpost, walking at the pace and rhythms he's laid down for our ancestors. Walking at the pace and the rhythm, that there is a pace and there is a rhythm to life that God has established for you and I. That there is a pace and a rhythm, and we find it in as we follow him, as we follow his instructions. That's what he's saying. Hey, you walk with the Lord. You walk in his instructions, and you find the rhythm that he sets for you, and you follow that. And a lot of times what happens in life is we get out of rhythm, and our families get out of what God is going on, and then your marriage begins to stress, and your relationships with your kids begin to stress because you're fighting the rhythm. So this is today's teaching big idea that I'm going to give you a lot of notes to fill in. And we're going to go through this fast. And the reason I'm giving you a lot today, and I really could make this into a whole series within this whole teaching right here, but I want to equip you and make this as practical as I can. So this week, you begin, for those of us that are out of rhythm, we can say, you know what, I've identified where I'm out of rhythm, and here's some ways that I can get back into the rhythm. Here's a teaching big idea today. Living in the rhythm that God intends for us is a discipline that leads to the life God wants for us. Living in the rhythm, in the cadence, in the tempo that God intends for us is a discipline. It takes discipline to stay in this rhythm. It takes a lot of discipline to, as a musician, which I'm a drummer and I get this, it takes a lot of discipline to stay on the beat. Because sometimes you want to get off beat. You want to do your own thing. And what happens when you do that is you get out of harmony. And you get out of rhythm. And we got to get back into the rhythm. See, living in the rhythm that God intends for us leads us to the life of peace, of rest, that God wants for us. Now, in bow hunting, there's many different types of bows. And I've learned a lot about bow hunting, even though I'm not a bow hunter. And I've got some friends that are in my life group and some others that I've been able to talk to. And they've given me some great insight about the rhythm of bow hunting. Did you know that each bow has a unique rhythm? That there are different types of bows that have a different rhythm as you pull it back. And some you need to actually come back and you need to rest a little bit. You need to hold it there on the target for possibly several seconds, maybe 30 seconds to establish the right aim. Others, there's a rhythm kind of like Arrow. You guys like that show Arrow where it's the Marvel and he's like lightning. He like, psh, 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 psh. It's rhythm. And there's some bows that you have to release and then continue the rhythm of the follow through. If you've watched archery in the Olympics, which I realize says no one, archers then, they as they're aiming on the target, they're breathing. They discipline themselves to a rhythm of breathing. And it's unique to the bow. See, God's rhythm for our family, write this in, is unique to the work to which God has called us all. God's rhythm for your family is unique. God's rhythm for your family is unique to the work to which God has called you. See, God has called all of us to the same calling, to know Jesus, to become like Jesus, to set our aim, to know him, to trust in him, and to follow him. Every one of us share that calling that every one of us, but each of us have a different work. Your family may have a different work that's unique to you. For some of you, you're an early morning family, and your rhythms start early. Some of you are late night rhythm people, and you like come alive at 7 o'clock, and you can have your coffee at night, and you can stay up to the wee hours of the morning, and you can do all that. See, some of you are 9 to 5 job people, and that's your work life, and there's a rhythm that is established. You know, my family, we're called, and there's a work that we have in full-time ministry. There's a unique rhythm that we have to find. Say, God, what's the rhythm for our life that you're establishing? For some of you, you're an entrepreneur, and the rhythm of your life to the work that God has called you to is unique to you and your family. For some of you, you work in government, and it's a unique rhythm. Others are in education, and it's a very unique rhythm. See, there's a rhythm that's unique to all of us. You might be sitting next to someone that has a different rhythm for you, but the thing is we got to lock in to the pace, to the cadence, to the rhythm that God has set for each of our families. And in order to find the rhythm for our families, we need to look at our calendar. Because you want to know what guides your rhythm, look at your calendar. And this is no excuse. Listen to me. This is no excuse to quit your job. Because today I want to look at something a little bit different. I want us to see how our rhythms are not as defined by what we do, but our rhythms are defined by the who around us. See, we find the rhythm in our schedule by identifying the priority in our relationships. And if you caught it, I subtly said something unique. I didn't say priorities. I said priority. Because you can't have priorities. You can have one priority, and then everything else falls into rank. We have one priority. You can't have multiple priorities, because if you think and you view life as multiple priorities, then your life is going to be out of rhythm. You're not going to fall into the rhythm and the pace that God wants you to have, because you feel like you have multiple priorities. You got all these plates you got to spin. We've got to see life not in activity, but we need to see life in the priority of the main who. See, a lot of times we view life as activity, and the priorities as activities. And what happens when we get out of rhythm is we fill our schedule up with all these activities, but we lose sight of what priority is all about. Priority is all about relationships. See, the reason my schedule is the way it is now is because I schedule my life around the relationships. And this is where it's not an excuse to go and quit your job because you want to spend time with your family. See, the way you schedule your family as a priority is you say, you know what, I'm working for my family. And then when you really have the true priority, then you will make decisions through your work activity, and you'll look at it through the filter of your priority of the relationships, that when they ask too much or you get a job that might demand too much from your family, you can say, no, see, my priority is this. But in that, see, even in our family life, see, we got to have the right priority at the top, because if we don't have the right priority at the top, then everything falls out of rhythm and out of line. Look what Jesus says. He says, come to me, all you who are weary. What's he saying? Come in on me and dial it in on me. And I just listen for me to it for a second. As a drummer, man, I get this. Because as a drummer, I can live out, I can be drumming and playing with the band like this, and there's a click track, there's a tempo set, and I have to dial out all the noise in that to find the tempo in that song that's set in place. And a lot of us, we need to dial out all the other noise, and we need to come to Jesus. We need to dial out all these other things that are burdening us and that are weighing us down, and we need to dial it in, and we need to say, come in to Jesus. And look what Jesus says, come to me, dial it in on me. All you who are weary and burdened, all of you who are overcommitted, all of you who are stressed out in life, come to me. And then look what he says, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke, what's he saying? Take my teachings, center your life on me, dial it on me, follow me, and how I want you to live? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest and peace for your souls. See, life is about the rhythm of the priority. And John Maxwell, he said this. He said, too many priorities will paralyze us. And Jesus, I believe, he says, I want me to be the priority. That's why I want you to come to me. I want you to dial in on me. Learn from me. I want to be the priority. And write this. See, when Jesus is my priority, then my relationships will find their place. When Jesus is your priority, then all your relationships will find their place. They will fall into rank in your life when Jesus becomes your priority. Look what he says when he's asked, hey, what's the most important activity? Jesus replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. This is the first and greatest commandment. And then he says the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws, all those activities, all those commands, and what the prophets say are wrapped up, hang on these two commandments. And isn't it interesting that these activities of loving God and loving people, they're about relationships? See, the priority in what I do is more about the who. So today, this is what we're going to look at. What is the schedule? How do we take control of the rhythm and find and lock into the rhythm God has established for us? We got to make Jesus first. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all those things that get you're out of balance in your worry and your mind and it's overwhelming you. All those things, they'll find their place. You got to put Jesus first. So this is what I want to encourage you to do. Schedule Jesus first in your week. Write it in. Schedule Jesus first in my week. That's for my family. This is why we come here on Sunday. You've done this already. You scheduled Jesus first in your week. Now, we don't say this because we want to fill people and fill seats. We say this because this is how we make Jesus first in our life. We come together and we sing songs that realign us to say, Jesus, it's all about you and my life is a response to you and I want my life to be about that. That's why my family and I, we make life group a part of our weekly rhythm. We make life group because Jesus, you are first in our family. And our family is going to be a part of this. And we make serving a part of our weekly rhythm. We want to serve. And it's one way that we say, Jesus, you are first. We want to follow you. And not only do we schedule Jesus first in our week, schedule Jesus first in our day. That I need to schedule Jesus first in my day. This is, the psalmist said, I rise up early to meditate on you. And if you're a late night person, when you're staying up at 1 o'clock in the morning, you can just say, hey, I'm starting my day right. But think about put Jesus first in your day. For me, it's my shower. That's where the kids are still asleep, and I'm in the morning, and I'm showering, and I take that time, and I just focus, and I don't think about my day. I think about Jesus. I put my focus on him. You're first in my day. That's why I try to read my scripture before the kids wake up, is I want Jesus to be first in my day. And when Jesus is first, and we make Jesus first in our life, I believe everything else finds their place. For those of you who are married, then your spouse comes next. And if you're not married, don't check out on me. I want you to listen in on this and find what is appropriate for you in a second. But bank this in the back of your mind, because when you do get in a relationship, you need to realize that there's going to be a fight for your marriage, because just as there's a war in raising children, there's a war for our marriages. And a lot of times there's things that fight against us to take the time and get us out of rhythm in our relationship with each other. And a lot of times the reason you get out of rhythm with each other is because each other's not the priority. See, we need to create a rhythm with our spouse. Write it in. We need to create a rhythm with our spouse. Ephesians 5 says this. Ephesians 5 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And just pause for a second. See, I've heard many people say, you know, a great marriage is 50-50. It's not that. You know what a great marriage is? It's 100-100. It's 100% of me submitted to Jesus and 100% of me submitted to my wife. Submit to one another out of reverence for Jesus. Jesus, you're first. And when you're first in my life, husbands, this is what it looks like for you. Husbands, then you can love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. See, a lot of times we get out of rhythm in our relationships because we're not willing to give up all these other activities for our spouse. We get out of rhythm in our relationship because we want our kids to take the place of our spouse. And we take that time and the kids become the priority. Their ball games become the priority. And I get it. Pressure gets on. But this is where you take control and say, you know what? No. We're going to get in the rhythm. We're going to get in the rhythm that God has called us to. And as a husband, it's to submit to my wife. And as a wife, it's to submit to my husband. Got to get in the rhythm. So what do I encourage you to do? Schedule dates. Take control of your calendar. Find out where you got some time together. Even if it's a 30-minute break and you both get off of work for 30 minutes to join and come together to eat for quick, schedule time together. And you can't say, Casey, I can't afford it. I don't care. Go to Goodwill. Create an outfit. I don't care. Pick up a tennis racket. Find something that you can do together. Go to a park. Go for a walk. Find some time. Be intentional together. You got to schedule. And it's not about what you do. It's about spending the time. It's about building a relationship. See, the best gift that I can give my children, write it in, is a healthy marriage. It's not a better education. It's not all these activities and opportunities. The best gift that I can give my children is that dad is committed and 100% submitted to Jesus, and my kids see me submitted to my wife, and they see the gospel of Jesus Christ leading our marriage. As we forgive each other, we love each other, we make time for each other, and then we can establish a rhythm with our children. See, that's the next priority. See, he goes, Jesus first, and if I'm married, it comes my spouse. And then my children. I need to establish a rhythm with my children. See, children need rhythm. Children need boundaries. They need something set for them. And a lot of times what happens in life, we let the children set the rhythm. We let them, all their wants and activities, and you know what? I get it, because they can complain. And sometimes in their complaints, you just get tired of the complaints and you give in. Yes, we'll do that. Be the parent. Set the rhythm. Find the rhythm as you're submitted to Jesus. Find the rhythm as you're submitted to your spouse. And then find the rhythm so you can lead your kids. Look what Ephesians 6 goes on to say after Paul addresses how we need to submit to each other in marriage. He says, fathers, and I would add parents, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up, and I want you to see this, underline this, in the training and instruction of the Lord. You know what I think exasperates our kids more than anything? Is when we're not consistent with them. That we say things like, do as I say, not as I do. Or we change the rules at the last second. And the reason we change the rules at the last second is because they're irritating us. And we get on them just because they're irritating us. And we're not disciplined. We don't see it as a discipline strategy. We don't see it as, hey, I'm training you. I'm equipping you. Really, we see this as, I'm just trying to keep my sanity. And I get it. But we need to see our role and find our rhythm as parents to see, hey, how am I instructing and training my kids in the ways, in the rhythms, in the ways of life that we are establishing, that we are taking control of, and we want to instill in them. Write this in your notes. See, consistency is critical with kids. It's critical with kids. And then there's a blank to the right of that. I want you to write in values. And this is the important thing. See, a lot of times we don't know what we're parenting toward. We don't know those values that we're equipping our family for. We've never taken the time to identify them. We've never made the space with our spouse to talk about them. You know, in our home, we talk about things like that. Hey, Robinsons never give up. Why? Because that's a value in our home. Robinsons show respect because this is a value. Robinsons trust Jesus because this is a value in our home. This is something that Cassie and I have talked about. We talked about how we want to have courage. That's a value. We want our kids have a vision. We want them to have a passion for God. We want them to have character. And we want them to walk and follow Jesus. See, these are values that we've talked about. And we discipline toward those values. We reinforce those. And we're consistent with those values. And one of the worst things you can do as a child is not be consistent with your kids. Not be consistent. And one day you say one thing, and the next day you say another. It takes discipline on our own end to bring consistency there. And rules, when you make the rules, see, rules are values need rules to support the values. And when you have rules, rules need to be reinforced by a relationship. See, it's about the relationship with our kids. Rules need to be reinforced by those relationships. And you know what it also needs to be reinforced by? How we live. Are you modeling what you want them to see? See, we need to model what we want to see in them. Can they see in you what you're saying you want to see in them? There needs to be consistency. You want to exasperate your kids? Don't do this. Don't model what you want to see in them, and you'll frustrate them. But in find rhythm, we got to find rhythm in how we parent, and we need to find rhythm in how we discipline, because our discipline should be to instruct. We need to discipline children, write this in, not punish them. Jesus takes our punishment. Parents, a lot of times we punish our kids, and I'm just going to call it for what it is because this is what I've seen it in my life. We punish our kids because we're selfish. We punish our kids because they take something from us, and they had no clue why. We need to discipline them. And in order to discipline them, we need to understand what we're training them towards. In our home, we discipline toward the character that we want our kids to have. We discipline to them towards that. Look what Proverbs says, whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful, is intentional, is full of care when they discipline them, when they instruct them, when they train them. And we love our kids, and if we love them, that means we're going to discipline them toward what we want them to become in their character. A lot of times we discipline them toward what we want them to do. Training in godly discipline and the rhythm that we need to have in life is training our kids into who we want them and God wants them to become. And our life needs to reflect a rhythm that finds that in them. And then last is this, we need to find the rhythm for my extended family and friends. And the reason this is last is because this should be last. A lot of times there's a lot of stress and we get out of rhythm when this takes the demand. When friends in a marriage get more time than the spouse gets. When the kids in a marriage get less time than what the extended family gets. And what happens as parents, we need to be disciplined in order to say no to the activities that we need to say no to because we know what we're exactly saying yes to. And I know this is a sensitive topic and we need to honor our parents and we need to train, we need to respect them. But they don't run our lives after we create our own family. They find their place as we've found our place in the rhythm. And they don't become more important than your spouse. They don't take the place of Jesus. See, when Jesus is first, then my spouse, if I'm married, becomes second. And then my kids, they become third. And then my family and my friends, they find their place. And we make that, and our schedule should reflect that in intentionality. And I want to ask you today, are you living the life in the rhythm that God wants for you so you can experience the rest and the peace God wants for you? Maybe you need to do this. Maybe you need to see this, that disciplining yourself to say yes to the main thing will make it easier to say no to the many things. So this is what I want you to wrestle with this week. Maybe it's a conversation with your spouse. Maybe you need to take an inventory of your own life and you need to repent before God and say, God, I am so sorry that you haven't been my priority. Because as Jesus followers, when anybody else becomes the priority before Jesus, and it's not about demanding all the time, it's about taking the most important part of that time. It's about intentionality. It's saying that you know what, God, you are first in my life. That Jesus, I'm seeking you first. I'm aiming my life for you. And therefore, that's how I'm going to raise my kids to honor you. It's the rhythm I'm establishing in my marriage that Jesus, you're first. And if Jesus hasn't been first in your marriage today, you might need to repent of that. And so, what's that mean? Just change your mind about that and begin to follow his rhythm. Begin to find your cadence, in walking in the cadence that God has set for you. Maybe it's something you need to do with your spouse. And maybe it's a rhythm adjustment that you need to make with your kids or even your family and your friends. I want to pray for us. As you go about your week and looking at your rhythm and saying, God, what in my life needs to change? And what plan do I need to make evident on my calendar to reflect that I want to get in the rhythm that you've set for me, my wife, and our family? Our prayer partner is going to be up here after I pray, and if there's anything that you would like to have prayer for, they would love to pray with you. Let me pray for you today. Jesus, thank you. Thank you so much for your truth that we have in Scripture. Thank you so much for giving us wisdom. And Father, I pray that today you give us insight into where we are out of rhythm. And may we see how we can live in the rhythm that you've intended for us. God, if you're not the priority in our life, may we repent of that and make a change and follow you by making you first, by putting you first. And maybe we need to repent of our spouse not having that second priority because we maybe made our kids that second priority. Or maybe we've allowed friends and family to take the place that is there, and God, and it all comes because you haven't been the priority in our life. So I pray that you give us the discipline we need to lead us to the rest and the life that you want for us. In your name, Jesus. Amen. God bless you, Westside. We'll see you next Sunday.